The career of Noel Coward is described in reference books with a long string of nouns. Playwright, author, composer, songwriter, actor, singer, director, producer, nightclub entertainer. What's missing are the adjectives: witty, charming, urbane, sophisticated, decadent, perhaps. Noel Coward died in 1973. Now, almost a quarter century later, there's a Coward boom underway. Three books about him have just been published: a biography, a scholarly study, and a memoir by a longtime lover. And on Broadway, there's a successful revival of Coward's 1942 drawing room comedy Present Laughter. NPR's Susan Stamberg examines the current fascination with a man who was famous for much of the 20th century.
I'll see you again whenever spring breaks through again.
A lot of people think Noel Coward is just too. Too elegant, too flippant, too soigné, just too. Tally up the details: this languid voice, all those silk dressing gowns, the carnation in the lapel, the constant cigarette dangled between his long, long second and third fingers, slim face, high forehead, hair pomaded back just so, a perfectly groomed man, martini ready, primed to party.
Cocktails and laughter, but what comes after, nobody knows. You're weaving love into a mad jazz pattern, ruled by pantaloon. Poor little rich girl, don't drop a stitch too soon.
A romantic, glamorous world, Noel Coward's. A world he created on paper first in 1924 in The Vortex, his first big hit. The author played the lead in a dressing gown. Having appeared that way in public, the public kept expecting it. But Philip Hoare, author of Noel Coward, a biography, says the real Coward was different.
Coward himself was an ordinary suburban boy from Teddington, London, a London suburb. And, I mean, his private life was entirely not like the sophisticated cigarette-smoking, dressing gown-wearing person. I mean, it became the bane of his life in a way because, you know, he was always saying, oh, God, everyone thinks Noel Coward is so sophisticated. What would they think if they saw me go to bed with a little eggy something on a tray?
Eggies aside, Noel Coward was a trendsetter. He had enormous impact. Steve Ross, a pianist and singer who performs Coward's music, loves something one of the writer's pals said about his influence on society.
Until November of 1924, no one ever used the word darling except as a term of real endearment. And he was the first one. Now everybody in the world does hello, darling. I mean, Tallulah Bankhead, everybody uses it, I uses it. But from what I gather, he changed the way people spoke.
Darling, divine, mad, cad.
He would heighten things. I mean, he would say, there I was clutching a teacup. You don't hold on to a teacup, you clutch it. He was heightened and dramatized our speech.
Is he too frivolous? After all, the apex of Noel Coward's career came between the two world wars. He got famous early, 1924, when he was just 25. And he stayed famous, funny, witty, urbane, the rest of it. But he twinkled and tinkled his piano through some terrible times.
I really admire Coward because he knew what he did well, and he did it well, and he wanted to do it, and he didn't make a lot of pretensions about trying to give the audience a message.
Actor Frank Langella. On Broadway, Langella is starring in a revival of Present Laughter, playing a middle-aged, super-theatrical man of the theater who dives into various problems, fights, laps. Coward created the role for himself, about himself, a most amusing man.
I think his feeling really was, if you want some kind of lesson or message, go to the library, or get a book, or watch a good documentary on the war. But if you want to have a good light, easy, and very witty entertaining time, come to one of my plays.
Oh! Gary, oh! Gary, I'm ridiculously happy!
Oh, I'm so glad, darling.
Are you?
Happy? There's something awfully sad about happiness.
Actor Jeff Weiss, also in the cast of Present Laughter, sees something deeper than sheer entertainment in Noel Coward.
There's a
great sense in all of his plays of lost chances and of the encroaching dark. In this play, it's about the fact that he's getting older and how difficult it is for him to sustain a relationship with an other, one person. He can sustain a relationship on some level with great many, virtually everyone. He can charm the pants off the birds and the trees. But can he have one other?
That was a question for Noel Coward, too. Devoted to his mother and a small circle of friends, he had a series of affairs. Some lasted for several years. He was promiscuous, and he was homosexual, which in his day could be dangerous.
Homosexuality was illegal in England, and it wasn't up until 1966. So Coward was leading an illegitimate, illicit life. But it was something which also manifested itself in his work very much. I mean, there's a gay subtext to all of his plays, even the ones which deal most ostensibly with heterosexual relationships.
The current production of Present Laughter moves the subtext to center stage. In the past, directors have taken more of a wink-wink approach to the sexual proclivities of the leading character, the Coward character, Gary Essendine. But after studying the text, director Scott Elliott decided Gary should be openly, even exuberantly, bisexual. Lots of onstage flings with young lovelies, at least one of them male. Scott Elliott says his decision is controversial.
People will say, oh, you never should reveal it. You should never say that Noel Coward was gay. You know, I mean, but everybody knows it. And I thought, you know, instead of doing it as a kind of slam to him, I really did it as a tribute to him in the 90s.
Scott Elliott wants to make Noel Coward connect to today's audiences. Homosexuality is out of the closet now. And in this time of AIDS, singer Steve Ross says the new interest in Noel Coward, the show, the books, reflects a need.
More and more, people are looking for positive role models, if you will, because a lot of the gay people in this country see sadness and are connected with their lifestyle. So I think someone who can surmount that and do something with style, that's his gift, to do it stylishly and make people laugh.
Mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. The Japanese don't care to. Chinese wouldn't dare to. Hindus and Argentines sleep firmly from 12 to 1, but Englishmen detest a siesta. In the Philippines, they have lovely screens to protect you from the glare. In the Malay states, there are hats like plates which the Britishers won't wear. At 12 noon, the natives swoon and no further work is done. But mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun.
Noel Coward's patter songs come right out of Gilbert and Sullivan, Steve Ross says. Ross, too, is in the cast of Present Laughter. He plays and sings Coward, Porter, and other tunes as the audience comes into the theater. Once the comedy begins, he becomes Frank Langella's long-suffering valet. Ross says one of Coward's best-known lyrics works fine as light verse.
Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. The profession is overcrowded and the struggle's pretty tough. And admitting the fact she's burning to act, that isn't quite enough. She has nice hands to give the wretched girl her due, but don't you think her bust is too developed for her age? I repeat, Mrs. Worthington, sweet Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage.
Life was a stage for Noel Coward. He theatricalized himself and made everyone around him part of his ongoing play. Frank Langella met Coward just once in the 1960s at a small private lunch in Hyannisport, arranged so the playwright, author, composer, performer could meet some fans, President and Mrs. Kennedy. Langella, just 24 years old then, says Coward dominated the afternoon with his charm.
I was all hair then. It was the Beatles time, so I was lots and lots of long hair. And he kept pushing it out and saying, I can't see your eyes. He sang all of his songs from Sail Away, which was the musical he was then doing in Boston. I remember how vulgar he was in the most delicious kind of way. You know, just he within 10 minutes, every possible vulgarity you could think of, he said. And it was great, and he charmed everybody at the table.
Did you like him?
Yes, I liked him enormously, enormously. He was among the legendary people I have been really lucky enough to meet and spend time with in my life. That 5 or 6 hours I spent in his presence made me appreciate how close to what his legend was he was.
storm clouds are riding through a winter sky. Sail away, sail away. When the love light is fading in your sweetheart's eye, sail away, sail away. When you
Noel Coward is a legend, wildly prolific, quick to create, a song in 7 minutes in a traffic jam in New York, a play in 4 days, laid up with flu in Shanghai, decades of fame and fortune, success. In 1928, a year before he turned 30, Noel Coward wrote a show called Bittersweet, and for it, composed one of his most autobiographical songs. The haunting lyric ends with these words, "I believe that since my life began, the most I've had is just a talent to amuse." I'm Susan Stamberg.